Welcome to I'm From the Internet, a podcast about somethingawful.com, the goons, and their consequences. I'm Chicago illustrator and game designer Winslow Dumain, and I'm sitting here with internet historian Jay Brandstetter. So, sounds like you have a story for me today.
I do, and this one's actually kind of up your wheelhouse. I don't know if this is something that's come up on the show before, but you're from a family of dog breeders, I think.
Well, my mom is. My mom is a breeder and shower of purebred Russian wolfhounds.
Yeah, the borzois.
Yes, borzoi is more commonly called.
Yeah, dogs are having a moment. So that's actually great because today's episode is going to be about dogs. This is going to be our first episode that focuses on Pet Island, Something Awful's pet ownership forum. And there are some stories that come out of there. I'll tell you up front, I'm not going to do any bummer stories out of there because I know how people are about pets. So I just want to tell everyone up front, you know, this isn't going to be a bummer. No animals were harmed in the making of this episode. This is going to be a funny one. So.
I just have this like platonic idea of a goon in my head, and like, you know, biting off more than they can chew, weirdly confident, also like that bizarre internet masculinity, that internet territorial behavior, you know, the nerds, yeah, the neckbeards, but also like sprinkled in with a whole bunch of other types of people. Like, it was such a broad group of like extremely online people when it was very popular. And I can't say I have good feelings about the prospect of like finding out the conditions that they all keep their pets in. I don't know if I've talked about this on the pod before, but like, I did a couple tattoo conventions. Have I told you about that?
No, I mean, I think you might have mentioned that you've done them before, but I don't know if I've...
Yeah, so, like, I do everything that I can, but I'm, when I first got started doing cons, like, selling art and stuff, I had to, like, pick which things I wanted to do, like, what was the most important stuff for me, I started doing a lot of like street fairs, and those are very like draining, right? So I don't do that shit anymore. I don't know why I'm saying this. What I really am trying to say is I do like anime conventions, and those are fine. I do all the taxidermy conventions, and I get like all the weirdos from there. But the big thing that I tried the last year was doing like a couple these tattoo conventions in Chicago and Milwaukee, and they are like, oh god, it's just hives of scum and villainy. There's no money to be made there unless you have pre-booked all of your sessions out. And I don't do tattoos. I'm just there selling merch, which is what they wanted. They wanted people selling things. And the thing is, it's like a gaming convention, not like pop culture, but like board game gaming convention. You don't go there to buy games. You go there to play games, right? You play different games. You shop around a little bit, but you're there to shop around for the playing experience, yeah, not for the buying experience. And so, like, you see a lot of tattoo people walking around with like fresh tattoos, open wounds, while they're carrying like a puppy pit bull. Ugh. Or, like, a fucking boa, you know, like a big-ass snake that is just, like... And snakes, they have no choice but to just writhe in piss and shit their entire life. Like, that's just... They're just a tube, and that's what they do. So I just see, like, these people and the way that they keep their pets, and I'm just like, oh, man, I'm so fucking glad I don't have pets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, especially with the lifestyle you live too. I can't, unless you had like a pet that could travel with you, I can't imagine that would work.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, like my friend Thick Lizzie, she's like, you know, super itinerant. She doesn't have any fucking hard address and all that. She's all over the place, but she's like, she could maybe get by with like a Chihuahua in her truck. You know what I mean? Like that. Outside of that, I can't do anything, man. I could keep like a moth in my car. But I don't want to fucking bother with that. I want it like eating my wool.
Well, you could get rats, you know.
Yeah, I could get a rat. I mean, they will come for me eventually.
They come for us all.
All right. But what do we have here?
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen with you. Before we go into the story, this thing I'm going to show you doubles as sort of the inception for this episode. So let me share this video here. All right.
Because yeah, you're like a little bit like micro celebrity, not even that, but you did make you've contributed to a meme, right? Like you.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever talked about that on the podcast, but I am officially cited in Know Your Meme as the originator of a meme, which is fantastic.
Does Know Your Meme have the Gatorade thing?
Is Gatorade Should Be Thick? Yeah, if there isn't a Gatorade Should Be Thicker meme page on there, that should be our new campaign. That could be our call to action.
No, it's not. Interesting. Yeah, we should get Gatorade Should Be Thicker on.
Yeah, what are the notability guidelines for there? Come on, is it like Wikipedia? Let's look into that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have somebody look into that. I'll have my people look into it.
Yeah, but
that's funny.
Yeah. So anyway, so I've scared my screen with you, and if you want, if you could describe the video thumbnail, I've shared your YouTube page with you. If you could describe,
yeah, you tried to send me this video when we were like talking about what's next for the pod, and I very much did not want to watch it because I have like very specific traumas with dogs.
Oh boy!
And I so this is a video. It is it's one of those things where it's like I it's evocative of so many other things because there's just like the placement of it. It's a YouTube video. It's a screenshot where you get like a little bit of a bit of the title, who uploaded it, and the name. And the name is "When Pet Grooming Goes Wrong," and then the emoji that looks like somebody going, you know, it's like all the teeth.
I describe that as the grimace. It's grimacing, like ugh.
Yeah, the wincing or something like that. And the image in the screenshot is a large white dog. It's slightly blurred by motion. The dog is rather expressionless, but the fact that its teeth are so sharp lends it kind of a feral approach. You know, like it looks kind of intense. But there is a hand holding a green hose with like a garden nozzle on the end of it that is pointed directly into the dog's open and waiting mouth. And it's clearly like blasting water into this dog's mouth, which is I'm not against it. It is very funny, but it does look like an assisted suicide by hose. Like it's pretty fucking grim.
She's like, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Oh, yeah, no,
yeah, exactly.
So,
Jesus Christ.
Luckily, no. I'm going to play a little bit of the video for you now. This is from a channel called Girl with the Dogs. It's a relatively successful YouTube channel. It's kind of normie core. I know about this because my ex, like, she watched a lot of channels like this, and I know about some of them. So I'm going to play this video here. So there's that dog sitting here.
Yeah, you just get kind of an idea of how confused white dog.
Yeah, I'm going to mute there so you can see. It's like a large.
Oh, yeah. So let's. It looks like it's the dog in a shower cell, but the dog is kind of confused and a little bit distressed. Again, we're not going to show or describe anything too bad for you here. It just looks like the dog doesn't know what's going on or where its owner is.
You can see, like, this is a human. Like, how big is this dog?
It's like a good medium-sized dog. I would say it's bordering on a large dog. My perspective on large dog goes pretty kind of wild because I'm used to, like, very, very large dogs. So
yeah. So this type of dog is called a Maremma sheepdog. It is despite the name, it is a livestock guardian. It is not a sheepdog.
Yeah.
It is
so it's like a Kuvas.
It's an Italian dog breed that was bred to fight wolves. Like literally they look like sheep. They live with herds of sheep. They blend in with them, and when wolves attack the herds of sheep, they fight the wolves off. So these are dogs that are bred to fight. And the reason why, because this video
Go ahead.
I'm going to skip ahead because because in this video
to clarify, when people say that No, you're fine. You're
go ahead. Say your thing. Yeah.
To clarify, when people are like saying that these dogs were bred to hunt wolves, it's generally like they're bred to like indicate where they are, and then maybe like go and like ward them off at least a little bit just with their size, and then if failing that, they will like fight the wolf long enough for like the shepherd to get his gun, kind of thing. It's not something where like these like this, because wolves are fucking enormous.
Oh yeah.
Like, even Russian wolfhounds, like, it's extremely rare that they actually, like, hunted wolves. You don't really hunt a wolf. It's just, like, if they're there, you fight them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this is a dog that's being, groomed at, like, a dog groomer. It's being, like, hosed off with at the shower.
I'm very glad you said all that, because I'm going to touch on some of that stuff later when we talk about dog stuff. But, yeah, so this channel, basically, I wanted to show this to you because when she's trying to groom this dog, and it gets irritated, it just immediately starts biting. You'll see that big thing there. Like, and at the end of the video, she ultimately decides that she can't groom it. She says that she can't do it because even as a skilled groomer, she's not capable of doing it. And I just wanted to show you that video as an example of how this is a person who handles dogs professionally for a living. And even there is someone who is struggling with handling this dog. So how do you think this dog would handle a small child?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to continue the trend of us not getting too fucking dark, but probably poorly. I have been bitten rather badly by a child that was walking a dog that it should not have been walking.
Oh, boy.
At my ex's place. Yeah. Yeah, that was a full puncture too. That was not a good day.
Oh, I'm very sorry to go for that.
And also, like, oh yeah, it is what it is. The other thing about like sheepdogs are fucking incredible. Sheepdogs are very interesting because of just how like they're very good at defending the herd. Because we have, you know, X number of Borzoi back home, which are large but very like extremely chill dogs.
Yeah. And kind of like greyhound like in their composure.
I mean they're related, right? So they are very 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 chill and like to the point where like they will not do something if they're unless they're like really provoked in my case if they are like there's something wrong with their brain and they just, you know, they are become fucking crazy. So with the sheepdogs, we have one Kuvas and, the Kuvas will like, if there's ever something new, the Kuvas goes and checks it out and like make sure that everybody's okay, that there's a new thing here. And then if all the dogs go out, the Kuvas will have fun, but we'll also like walk the perimeter and check in and like count on everybody and like, you know, sniff everybody and keep like a going track of everybody. And then we'll like not tell us obviously, but like we'll kind of indicate if somebody has gone missing and then we'll have to go and find the other dog. Sheepdogs are very, very much an interesting breed. So.
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. Thank you. And yeah. And so I guess before we go to this, I will say, you know, as an internet historian, like, as someone who does a lot of this, I'm always kind of wary of pet stories on the internet, especially with dogs, because a lot of it is based around what I like to call dog racism. Basically, there are just people online that are super into dog bite statistics and dog skull measurements, the way that other people are into FBI crime statistics and human skull measurements, and it's all just very unsavory and upsetting to me as someone, especially someone from a biology background. So luckily, this story is blissfully free of that baggage. So I'll tell you that right now. Don't worry. I mean, I wouldn't do you dirty like that.
Yeah, because a lot of that was, you know, before it was pit bulls, it was Rottweilers, you know? Like,
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's so weird. Like, when I was a kid, it was Rottweilers were the scary dogs. It was Rottweilers were the bad dogs. And then just, like, someone, like, flipped a switch, and all of a sudden it was pit bulls. And I was like, when did that happen? Yeah. Like, Roddy, I mean, I like Roddy's. They're good dogs, too. Like, it's just, like, It's just funny how yeah, it's although a lot of the culture stuff tied into it. We don't need, I'm sure there are people much smarter than me have gone into much greater detail about like the classism inherent in a lot of like anti-dog breed stuff and everything. So
It's just whatever the people of color have that's just who they're going to be yelling about, you know.
Yeah. So today's this thread, this is from March 3rd, 2009. It's Something Awful's Pet Island subforum, a thread titled Maremma Sheepdog, all lowercase letters. And I figure for this episode, I'm going to read the OP and then you can read the replies to the OP because the OP is a recurring character. And also I feel your feelings will probably match the tone of the replies that we're going to be reading. So
sounds good.
Okay. So the poster of this thread in our star is a poster named Fishy Fishy. So Fishy Fishy posts in Pet Island. In a few days, I am picking up my new puppy. It is a purebred Maremma Sheepdog. I have had lots of dogs in the past and raised quite a few puppies, so I know about how to look after dogs and what is needed. This dog will be the biggest I have ever owned, though. I have always wanted one of these kinds of dogs and think it will fit into my lifestyle okay. I live in the city, but I have a very large yard and a dog park one block from my house. I also go for 2 one-hour jogs / fast walks per day. I have young children, but the pup I am getting comes from a breeder with young kids, too. My kids are 2 and 8 weeks, and the breeders are 2 and 3. I know these dogs can be quite independent and strong-willed. I was wondering if anyone has any experience with this type of dog in an urban setting, and how did they cope? I have already talked to the breeder and got lots of advice on the breed, but I think I need more. All the advice they gave me is from their experience on farms. I have also read so much information on the net as I could get my hands on.
So, okay, that right out of the gate, if that's true, right? I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I don't know why they would lie about that. That is like the only situation that I would suggest a city dwelling person acquiring a dog of that capacity, right? Because like people from the city will get a husky and then just be like, oh man, this dog that was bred specifically to survive and work in like the coldest environments on the planet, they just like sit around all day when it gets super hot and it seems like they're dying. And it's like, yeah. And then the winter comes and they lose their fucking minds in your apartment and eat your TV because you're not doing anything with them. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah. A dog is not just like a painting, you know what I mean? It's a whole thing that you have to be involved in.
Yeah, no, yeah. When I lived in Florida, every time I saw a husky, I was just like, "What are you doing?"
Oh God, yeah. That's It's just like, just put rims on your fucking car, or like do something else. That's just like if you want people to if you want to conspicuously consume, then do something that doesn't involve a living thing.
Yeah,
right.
Get a new cell phone case. You know.
Right, you know.
Yeah. And also the idea of them only asking for advice after they've already ordered the puppy. Like, this is a thing on internet stuff that happens so much where a lot of times when people online ask for advice, they're not really asking for advice. They just want to be like validated. They just want people to tell them that what they're doing is right. And that's never what happens when you ask people for advice and stuff like this. So I don't know why they do it. So
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's the thing where you start something and then you go like, uh-oh, this is more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so first reply say you go, Winslow.
Is it a Maremma? Is that how we're pronouncing it?
Maremma, yeah.
Maremma? A Maremma? Really? How much research have you done? Funny, because I just found this. This is not a breed for beginners. Have you had lots of dogs, or did your parents have lots of dogs that you lived with? And it looks like there's another Wikipedia quote here. However, the dogs may display hostility towards outsiders, and they are not suitable companions for urban areas due to their large size and need for open space. Yeah, that is a very important distinction of just like, you know, because I did grow up and actually have to take care of the dogs a lot and like be around them a lot because my mom was out a lot, and so I know a lot of other people who had just that exact thing where they're just like raised around them and they just like, oh, you just put food in it and that's it. It's like, it's not how any of that works at all. You know, it's like a car isn't just a thing you put gas in. A car has a different, there's different kinds of fucking cars, you know?
Yeah, like you're saying, yeah, people really view that as an accessory, not like a living creature with needs and desires and thoughts and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So in the replying to that, Fishy goes, "I have done lots of research. Marimbas are usually not good for urban areas because they have huge energy requirements. I do 2 hours of jogging a day, plus I take my kids to the park/dog park every day as well, so that is not an issue. We also have a huge block with good fences. The farm I am getting my pup from don't sell their pups to anyone, and I had to show that I knew what I am doing. They also need to be socialized from an early age or they could become aggressive. My dad used to be a staffy breeder. This is when I was in high school and I used to help trade pups with him. In recent years, I have had a Kelpie/Blue Heeler, which needed lots of exercise." And I did some research here. For reference, Australian cattle dogs like Kelpies and Blue Heelers are medium-sized dogs. They're roughly half the size of a Maramma sheepdog. In fact, the American Kennel Club even describes the Blue Heeler as compact. Also, while researching this, I only just now realized that Bluey Heeler is, that's a pun. I didn't realize that Bluey's name was a pun. So now I know that.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
Well, also, I know Bluey's last name. I'm a 35-year-old man with no children. Yeah.
Well, you got to masturbate to something. You know what I mean? I do like that he just said, no, I jog a lot. That will be fine. That's all it needs. Because as we know, dogs like to run in a straight line. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that there's some dogs that will work out for. I'm just trying to hedge a lot of the things that I'm saying here, because I know that there's going to be at least one person who's going to message us who's just like, actually, I have the very thing. And it's like, I don't care. I'm glad that you're listening, but at this point, we have a good number of listeners. But we don't have so many that I've, like, started to despise everything about the project, you know? Like, I've been listening to Well, There's Your Problem lately, and that's a podcast where it's just like, oh, you guys, well, Liam at least sounds like he doesn't like having a podcast.
Yeah, I feel like once your podcast has a Reddit, that's when things go out of control. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love the attention, but I don't, you know.
Yeah, just that pregnant pause as both of us like contemplated the worst thing that could possibly happen when we succeed.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I, you know, just play my card game. That's all I want. I don't give a shit. You know, I'm working so hard over here.
Yeah. So, anyways, meanwhile, the Maramma Sheepdog Club of America. This is how they describe the titular dog breed. So. This is a quote from the Maramma Sheepdog Club of America. "The Maramma Sheepdog Club of America does not recommend the Maramma as a pet. The Maramma actually never considers itself a pet. It is a working dog with 2,000 years of genetic background of livestock guardianship behind it, and it needs a job to keep it occupied. If it is to be in the house with a family, it must be temperament tested and heavily socialized from the time it is a small puppy. A puppy should be outgoing and friendly with everyone, but its rowdy behavior needs controlling. After all, a 10-month-old puppy may weigh 100 pounds. It must also get used to meeting strangers. By the time it is 2 years old, it will be less outgoing with strangers and may decide it doesn't want any stranger to touch it, its master, or its property. To limit this future possessiveness, you must get your dog used to being handled by many friendly strangers when it is very young and keep at it. And even then, you must personally introduce your dog to all new strangers who enter its territory, and you may have to be present each time that they return."
I mean, they're like a fucking bodyguard, a hyper paranoid bodyguard with amnesia. You know, like they are very serious fucking animals.
It's like having like a Metal Gear Solid guard, just like the what?
Right? Huh. Yeah, yeah. When you knock them out, they drop a ration. You know. No, they're very serious animals, and there's just, like, this misplaced confidence for so many people who are just like, oh, I'm getting a pupper. I have my precious little doggo who can do no wrong. And it's like, oh, this is, like, there's a whole culture and history. This is, like, the domestication of dogs and, like, the creation of certain breeds is, like, a very serious fucking thing. and it has taken tens of thousands of years to do. And that doesn't mean it's going to be like a good fit for your fucking brownstone, you know?
Yeah, no, it's just a small digression, but did you see the movie Nope last year?
I have not. I have meant to, but I never did.
Just because that's kind of what the movie is about. Like, a lot of it is about, the main characters are animal trainers in Hollywood, and a lot of it is about, how some people don't understand that animals are animals, how some people think that they have, special connections with them, or they anthropomorphize them too much. And I'm just that made me think about that, because that really is a problem people have, where they don't understand that, these animals, it's not, like you said, they think it's their precious pup, or they don't understand that it's its own thing.
Right. I mean, and that's kind of similarly related to people who walk their dog off leash. And then there's we'll freak the fuck out if you give them any pushback on that. Right. And it's I'll be walking a dog on a leash, back when I would be doing these kinds of things. And an off-leash dog would run up to it, and the owner would be like, oh, he's fine, he's friendly. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know that my dog is also friendly? What if my dog isn't friendly, and that's why I have my dog on a leash? You know? And so, dogs will get in fucking serious fights and can be killed because somebody just, didn't give enough of a shit. They just wanted to walk around with their little fucking sandals and say, they're chinos and all that shit, and just oh no, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
No, it's really fucking not.
But no, see, when people see me walking the dog without the leash, I'm special.
Yeah, it's funny that, I'm sure everybody has a different image in their head when they imagine the people who walk their dogs without a leash. And for me, it's the guy in, the salmon shirt wearing his, khaki chinos. And he's got his sandals on, he's got his sunnies, and he's the guy that says, cheers, amigo, before he, leaves for somewhere. That's a very specific guy. I know that guy, you know?
That's very good, yeah. And I will say, I've really loved, one of the things I loved about this job is having a dog in my life again, Fred's dog Hitomi, and it's really neat. She's a Pomeranian Chihuahua mix, and the reason why he has her is because he has brittle bone disease. So he was like, I have to get the dog this small because anything bigger, and if it jumped on me, it could break my bones and hurt me. So, and that was just a very interesting thing to think about from the perspective of okay, I need to have a dog, but I'm someone whose bones break easily, and having to figure out what type of companionship animal you can have. That was just a very fascinating aspect of pet ownership I'd never thought about.
Yeah, part of it is the fact that I was raised around them. But I also think that if I were to have a dog, it would be like a Borzoi or something like that, because their temperament is very in line with my temperament, because I'm a very slow, cool, and quiet person. And I don't want somebody who's going to be making a lot of noise and barking, and I just super hyperactive. None of that shit appeals to me in any capacity. And so a pet that just kind of hangs out would be great. But also, I'm about to sign up to do 16 more cities of tour dates for next year. So that's not going to happen no matter what. I also, this is a separate thing altogether. It's just that George Carlin joke of how a dog is just a ticking time bomb. It's just a tragedy that you're waiting to happen, and it'll just happen at any point in time. And that's just how I feel about him right now. I don't want to invite, another rending heartache in my life just for the fact that I would have a dog for a while, right?
Yeah, it's and I appreciate that you're a responsible enough person to look at your life and be I shouldn't have a pet, because a lot of people don't do that. And I'm someone who loves animals a lot, and that's why I have rats instead. I would love to have a dog, but my life, I didn't have a place that would have one. And I'll be as a person, I don't really know if I'd be the best dog owner. But rats, on the other hand, they don't have as many needs, and so it's they're great companions. It's great. But if I have a time where I, like, you know, if I'm super depressed or whatever, I don't want to be around them for a day or two or whatever, that's not an issue. Or like if I need to be away and travel for a bit, I can just leave them extra food. So that's why it's I get the pet that fits my lifestyle instead of getting a pet, even though instead of being like, well, I really want a dog, so I'll get a dog. I'll just make things work, and then just things go horrible. The jingle of a dog's collar would be good right here. The jingle of a dog's collar would be fine. The jingle of a dog's collar would be good right here. The jingle of a dog's collar would be fine. Yeah. And this is so just a include with what the they were saying earlier. They said, if you are a person who lives in cramped quarters, has young children, or has neighbors who would object to a barking dog, don't buy a Maremma.
I don't know. I don't know if this is too fucking lib of me, but, like, there should be a law. You know, like, the we allow so much, so many, like, very bad pet ownership practices by people who just are, like, wildly ill-equipped. You know, I mean, I guess there's a law in the sense that, like, I don't know. Like, if you're keeping your pets in, like, utter squalor, they will do something about it. But there's, you know, you have to, there has to be a lot that happens before they actually take your pets away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville had a big cat rescue because, you know, it's Florida, so, like, there were so many people that would be buying tigers and stuff as pets and then just not being able to take care of them, so.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's just, I don't know. I hope someday that it's revealed to me just how hubristic I've been and some silly thing that I did, but I can't fucking imagine having any part of my brain that says, like, no, you should have a fucking big-ass cat. That's what you need.
Yeah, yeah. You know who wanted a tiger? Tony Montana from Scarface. That's the type of person who wants a tiger.
Exactly.
You're basically buying a loaded gun with four legs and a brain that hates everyone, but hopefully not you, and doesn't really care too much about your opinion on the matter.
Yeah, more or less. You know, not to like prescribe a whole breed as being a loaded gun, but like a loaded gun in the capacity that, like, it has the ability to kill very, very readily, but it not necessarily that it will, right?
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can use a loaded gun to start a race as well. You would use a different bullet. I get it. Don't at me.
Yeah, you know, you use it to scratch your back. You just practice good trigger discipline.
Right. Yeah, it's your ear like Chief Wiggum.
So Fishy replies,
the puppy has been socialized and temperament tested. It is from a registered breeder in Australia. I don't want this dog as a cute, fluffy family pet, and my kids would never be alone with it. I am getting it for protection and showing. We have been robbed in the past year, and we don't live in a very good area. I love working with big dogs, and in the future I may use it for work. I have my canine security license. I also have a Kelp EX Blue Heeler in the past, and they are herding dogs. Their breed attracts me for their independent size, domineer, energy levels, and their guarding ability. The size will not be an issue, as I am 6'2" and my husband is 6'6".
Oh,
Fishy is a Gounette, yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, all right. It's interesting that this degree of, like, wild hubris is coming from a Gounette. I mean, it's equal across the board, but also a 6'2" gal, go get him, honey. All right, what do we have next?
Not that, finding someone who's still taller than you, like, yeah, she got it. She got.
Yeah, I knew a guy who was, like, well over 7 foot tall back in Omaha, just this massive mountain of a dude. And I ran into him a couple years later, and he's just, like, a extremely tall, goofy-looking white guy, and he found the love of his life, which was, like, the tallest black woman I'd ever seen, and she's, like, 6'6", and they have, like, a whole bunch of really lanky kids. They're really just, like, kind of, it kind of warms my heart, you know what I mean? It's, like, seeing these two bizarre...
Two James Bond henchmen.
What do you call it? Was it the phenotypes. Yeah, they all fit together.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. That doesn't remind me. I am so excited for Halloween this year because, like, me working with Fred, like, getting to do, like, big guy, little guy costumes. There's so many things we can do. I've been, like, brainstorming ideas. I'm excited.
God.
You know, at some point, we're going to have to do a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome or Master Blaster at some point. That'll be perfect.
I will have to Google all of that.
And so a reply to Fishy Fishy is poster Frogzilla here, if you want to read that.
These dogs are listed as being unsuitable for protection bite work. I would not use one in any future security work and then bring them home with the kids. Their overdeveloped sense of protection and tendency for bodily action makes them unpredictable in this arena. They also have no recall from bite work, means they will not let go or stop on your command.
Oh my God. It's so funny to talk about this because it's like, I know that we're talking about a living thing. But it does just sound like this rogue AI, you know, like,
the ultimate killing machine.
The command,
yeah,
they just like go crazy and just like rip you the fuck apart, you know.
Yeah. Also, I meant to point out in the last post when they talk about they're getting it for protection and showing. As a dog person, but could you explain what you know what showing means, right?
Yeah, I do. There's like every dog has its like AKC American Kennel Club. Like ideals and like the guidelines for what they should look like. It's not even across the board, and I don't know if it's like, think of it like as the DSM of dogs in terms of like what they should look like. It's like the manual of it all. And yeah, so there's like these huge shows that happen. I mean, most people's like knowledge of this stuff comes from Best in Show, but the comedy movie about the same thing.
Yeah.
There's like the Yukonuba and the Purina dog shows, and yeah, you just like enter your dog, and then you go like it's all the bitch dogs, and then it's all the sire or not sire, but it's all like the just I think they're just. Regular, there's dogs and then bitches that have their own separate thing, and so that means of course we have like all of these different ribbons that say like number one bitch, and it's like earnestly says number one bitch on it, and the, like sire and stud, that's for like breeding and stuff like that. So you do all these separate ways of like showing your dog, like how the dog runs and like how it carries itself. It's like selling a horse, you know, like you want to see that the tail is raised up at a certain angle. Like it's very, it is eugenics, but for dogs.
Yeah.
Like very, very explicitly eugenicist, kind of thinking for this.
Literally, like,
but what's
literally,
very
like,
funny
like,
about
and
it.
Literally, like this, if you look at the history, like you can draw like the same connection from like, this came out of the same science and like the same mind as like human eugenics and stuff as the dog breeding.
Yeah. I mean, and like, it's, so when you're breeding a dog, you have a dog that has like, oh, my dog has great shoulders, but her snout is a little weird. So I'm going to find a dog with okay shoulders and a great snout. And so then you breed and then you have, you know, X number of puppies, depending on the dog. And you will, then like hopefully get a dog that's closer to perfect every time. That is also, you are taking into consideration, like, everything about the dog, from, like, the way that they stand, their ligaments, their, the quality of their coat, and also their temperament, and, like, whether or not they have issues. If it's a very long dog, they will have issues with, like, bloat. So, like, bloat is, like, a big thing for Russian Wolfhounds, and for, like, you know, Great Danes, and other of those really, like, long chest dogs. Because it's basically like your stomach gets like folded over once, and like the dog just like dies in like a half an hour, and there's nothing you can do. And then you have all the other bizarre ways the dogs can die. That's a whole deep dive. But what I'm trying to say is that this is a big world of people selectively breeding for desired traits, so that further down the line, they will have different traits in their dogs, right? That they will continue to work towards changing the whole physiognomy of the line of dogs, right? It's a historic breed, and it's maintained by pure breeding practices, right?
Yeah.
And a large number of these people, one, are eugenicists, like straight up, like Nazi. Like there's a lady who breeds dogs that I'm familiar with who has a whole kennel, or not a kennel. Kennel is like you are the kennel. All of the dogs that you breed are under your roof as your kennel, right? When you breed two dogs together, often you register like the names of the dogs, so they go into like the AKC will have like a register of all the dogs. And she has a litter that was all QAnon names.
Oh no!
And so like when you're doing like if you just go down to the dog store and you buy a dog. For 99% of the people, they get a dog and they call it like, it's my dog, Brian. The Brian's the dog's name. When you go to the vet, the dog's called Brian. The dog's paperwork will list the dog as Brian, right? But when you are dealing with like purebreds, the names are a lot more elaborate. And so like our dog Willow, the full name was like the wind whispering between the willows or something like that, but we call her Willow. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly why, but like if we have a whole litter, all of the dogs are like themed after something, right? Generally speaking, that's what I've had my experience in. And so like my mom and I, back when I was really into like physics, we had a fourth dimensional physics litter of dogs. And so that litter, we had a dog named Tesseract, who we called Tess, you know? And so like the names are like kind of meaningful in that regard. So yeah, this lady has like where we go one, we go Oliver, you know, like QAnon dogs. No. And so but the big cherry on top of all of this is that a ton of these people are like fundamentalist Christians who do not believe in micro or macro evolution in any capacity. They are actively breeding to change the traits of an animal so that in the future they will adapt a different, more permanent trait, and they don't believe that that happens anywhere else.
I never thought of that. Wow.
It's a whole fucking thing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think that this is the thing with, like, any scene that you get involved in, but, like, any clique, any passion, any hobby is just gonna have, like, a contingent of just fucking freaks, and the number of times that I have met people in the dog world who are just, like, out of their fucking minds, like, narcissistic sociopath fucking lunatics. And it's what I think it is, and we can get back to the story. I know I've been going on about this, but what I think it is like there are a lot of people who have kids because they want something that will obey them and they can control and they can hurt if they want to, you know? And a lot of people who will do that, a lot of people will also have dogs, will also have pets, because that's something that they can have complete and utter control over, you know? So it's like a very specific thing, you know?
The reason why I asked you all that was because, so the fact that they say that the dog is showing, so that means it's not going to be neutered. So that, you know, right. On top of all this behavior, you're going on the challenge mode of raising a dog.
Right, and yeah, and it's also got to have like perfect teeth. It's like you can raise the fuck out of a dog and not get enough, because you get points by showing, and if you get enough, if you get 15 points, you become a champion. And then that is just like a laurel that you can pin and be like, you really want to breed with my dog because my dog is so good that it's actually a champion. But and you can also like, as far as I can tell, you can't lose points. So a lot of the time, it is just like, if you have the resources to put your dog in as many shows as you possibly can, like you can fly, you can drive, you can do all this, you have all the free time, you can make any dog a champion. And a lot of these people will be breeding their dogs, and they will like, they're like so tunnel vision on like, no, my dog is perfect. My dog is perfect. There's nothing wrong with my dog. And like, they will have like the most gangly fucked up teeth, or they will have like severe temperament issues, and like they'll just breed all of their dogs together. Like if you have a litter and like a whole bunch of them die from like congenital issues, don't continue that bloodline, you know, because that's just, you're just going to have more dead dogs in the future.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who just like absolutely do not care about that, you know?
Yeah. It's like for someone who loves dogs, you sure don't act like it.
Right. Yeah. You're certainly in the business. It's like PETA, you know, like you're certainly in the business of killing a lot of dogs.
Also, a 6'2 or 6'6 person is usually no match for an aggravated dog that can weigh around 100 pounds. Dogs per pound are made of a lot more muscle than you are. I'm not trying to be an ass, I'm just hoping that you are very aware of what you're getting into. This is a dog like no dog you have ever worked with. They do not work in tandem with you like a GSD or a Blue Heeler would. They do their own thing because that's what they were bred to do.
Yeah, this is more of like action movie trailer talk here. Yeah, this is no dog you've worked with
before. Right, yeah.
Done. Yeah.
Steven Seagal in Bad Dog.
Are you going to fetch or are you going to play dead? All right, yeah. So Fishy starts getting defensive.
Also, I didn't post to ask if this is the right dog for me. I made this thread for a piece of advice. Has anyone here lived with one of these dogs in an urban environment? I know what it's done is I found some information on it. How do you cope?
So I like this whole, like, stop giving me advice about my dog. I came here to ask for advice about
cope.
It. Yeah. How do you cope? Yeah,
yeah, don't.
That's a great attitude for a dog owner to have. How do I tolerate this thing? How do I cope?
Yeah, if I planned on like breaking my foot with a hammer, I would not like. I guess I wouldn't just go out and just look up how to move around with crutches. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's so many so many bumper stickers that say I cope my pet.
That's funny because. I was at a con recently, and the person I do all these cons with is she's like this exceptionally fucking talented illustrator.
I've always wanted to ask about that because I saw you mention that you only get half a station, so I was like, "Oh, who's your other half?"
Oh yeah, that's Alex Winthrop. She's a Chicago tattoo artist, and she's fucking incredible. But what's funny is that like she has these very moving, interesting, highly richly detailed works. And then what sells is that she also, she also makes like a couple like cat themed things. So she has like a cat and a little jack-o'-lantern that was just like kind of made real quick. And then her thing that is like this unbelievably beautiful, colored pencil illustration, that one people like will walk by that to get to like her cat stuff. And, that's just a point of frustration. But I was thinking, like, if I were to make a cat thing, I wanted to make a shirt that just says, "I do not even like my cat," because that's the relationship I've had with almost everybody's pets, which is like, I don't even like this fucking.
And I did leave a note for myself here. Since we got kind of brought up a bit, as a veteran poster, the best advice I can give to anyone who goes to the internet for advice like this and is then overwhelmingly given advice that they don't want to hear, just don't fight it. You're not going to change anyone's mind, and you're not going to help yourself look any better. Just thank the people for the advice, whether or not you intend to follow it, because that's just the best way to play it off. Because you've never seen anyone online do this and have the thread be like, "Oh, you know, actually, you're right." No, it never works.
Yeah, because the only circumstance for that would be, like, that you had withheld some sort of information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for that to work. I mean, the jogging and being close to a dog park is, like, yeah, if you're going to get, like, a big ol', you know, like, some sort of, you know, hound breed, that could be a good thing, but for a dog of this caliber, it's just no. I'm gonna have my mom listen to this episode, and I'm gonna have her grade me on my my dog knowledge, because she's gonna be able to tell you all of the real stuff.
We have a poster, Moving Walkway, brings up a very good point, replying to Fishy Fishy here, if you could read that.
Why would you get a dog your kids really can't play with? Do you have a family dog already? Having a family dog growing up is something that really enriches a kid's life, and having a dog they can't even be alone with doesn't sound super fun.
Yeah, like, I didn't think about that, but yeah, that's just such a bummer, like, having a dog that you couldn't play with as a little kid, like, and not being able to really understand why, like...
Yeah, that's like, you know, your little sister dies and they won't change anything in her room, so you can't go in that room anymore. It's like, but there's toys in there.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. What do you mean I can't?
It's like this person gives as much thought to their children as their dog, I guess, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. God.
And one poster has experience adopting livestock guard dogs after they're given up by unprepared owners. This is a long one. But I wanted it in here because this is, like, direct experience, and I think it's a good post.
This is from Sekhmet.
A livestock guardian breed is nothing like a herding breed or a staffy. I can tell you that right now. I mean, do what you want, but these dogs are pretty serious and intense. Whoever said this would not be a fluffy dog park pal type of dog is spot on. My Great Pyrenees is a rescue, but as far as I can tell, his issues are fairly typical in the breed when raised by an average owner. That's what his previous owners were. They didn't abuse, neglect, or mistreat him. They just didn't have the time or knowledge to handle a very large, very independent, very dominant dog. He's male dog aggressive, barks at everything under the sun. The rescue got him debarked. He's a prototypical livestock guardian temperament, but he has awful hips and back, and he doesn't make an effective working dog. He doesn't really play like a normal dog. His playing involves mouthing, smacking his paws at, and tackling. Not good for a young kid. And must be slowly and painstakingly introduced to visitors to the house, and then acts like a giant demanding jackass to them, even when they've been here a while. He will demand attention from visitors to the point of being pushy, pawing insistently and mouthing, body block them when they try to go anywhere in the house that we haven't approved of them being in.
That's a funny thing that Kuvas will do. They will, like, they will stand horizontally in the doorway, and it's intentional. They're not doing that just because they're an asshole. They're doing that because it's like, no, you don't go in there.
They're bouncer dogs. That's great.
Yeah, it's funny that, like, they actually think of their body as, like, because a Kuvas is, like, the opposite of a Russian Wolfhound, because a Russian Wolfhound is so light and delicate and limmy, and a Kuvas is just, like, a dense neutron star of a dog who will just, like, physically body block you from getting into anywhere. So that's very funny that they mentioned that. Let's see.
They will growl when one gets too close to one of us, and he even arbitrarily decided that the area besides the couch was off-limits to guests and lunges at people who put things there and then reaches down for them later. I wouldn't be terribly concerned about an LGD attacking your own family, as the dog will likely bond and become protective of them, but what are you going to do when the kids inevitably have friends coming over, coming in and out of the house all the time? This isn't really a breed for that sort of lifestyle. So I guess you're asking, how did they do in that environment, in an urban, busy environment with lots of activity? And my answer is poorly. We have a smallish duplex in a medium-sized yard in a small community that I wouldn't describe as urban, and we rarely have visitors here. Sam is a little much to take sometimes, and peers are generally make better pets than Ramas.
And that's like, all of that's fucking true. I have a buddy who was raised with these tiny little pipsqueak dogs, and he has no idea of how to interact with, like, a large male dog. And so, like, he would come over and, like, be like a big bear guy and, like, go in for a big bear hug, like, directly coming up from behind the dog, putting his face right near this dog's mouth.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, man. Like, that if you don't know what that's like, that's like, imagine a guy seeing a black bear and then thinking, oh, to demonstrate that I'm nice, I'll go play with the black bear's cub. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, it's like the most perfect way to, like, I am a large looming threat coming up from behind you and grabbing you. Like, bro, I would stab that. I would bite at that. And I'm a dude, you know? Yeah. So, a lot of people think that they know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to dogs, because they think all dogs are the same. They just think it's this, like, a pupper or a doggo. Like, those are the two types of dogs.
There's another a person who has experience, this poster, Six Ethel Bearcat, if you could read their post here.
I recently
babysitted
for a family who have an approximately 18-week-old Maremma sheepdog. They also have a 2-year-old girl. The main issue was the relationship between her and their girl. The girl loves the dog and is constantly asking to go and play with her, etc., but the dog is very rough. Her playing was similar to what Lioness was describing, with lots of mouthing and huge puppy paws clobbering. This obviously didn't work well with the toddler. The girl still loved the dog, but she's had to have doctor's visits and stitches for several play bites because she's simply too small to interact with a big puppy in that way. The pup was almost waist height, probably the size of your average lab, but skinny.
They gave a kid stitches.
Yeah, once the dog is like, I don't know, man. In pursuit of making sure that this effort doesn't get too dark, once you see a dog being violent, not that this dog was violent, like it doesn't have a violent disposition, right? Like it's just play. This dog doesn't know.
It's in a context it wasn't made for.
Right, it's in a context it wasn't made for. But there's like, I've had a few times in my life where like a dog just had some fucking wire loose in its brain. And it did some really fucking violent stuff. And you just like, it's just, most people don't know what it looks like. They can imagine like, oh, two dogs fighting. It's like, it's a whole bunch of noise. And like, you know, dogs get bitten. Sometimes dogs get hurt and stuff like that. But like when dogs are like really fucking violent to something smaller than them, they're killing to eat it. And it's like the most horrifying thing you've ever seen, and it just changes the way that you look at the dog and the way that you look at life, the way that you look at puppies, and it's just like, it's horrifying. And so having to take your kid to get stitches because you had a big ass fucking dog in your little ass house, it's going to change your relationship to that dog, and it's also going to change your kid's relationship to dogs in general. And then when they're older, they're going to find out about how you did all of this. And it's going to change their relationship with you, you know?
Yeah, that's like a you get rid of the dog or you get rid of the kid situation. Like, one of them has to go.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because it's just, like, it's just not fucking safe, you know? Like, it's not a matter of, like, I'm not saying that all of these dogs are going to be, like, wild out of control, like, blood-soaked killing machines. But do you want the potential? Do you want the potential of, like, grave, serious bodily harm coming from a thing that does not speak a human language? You know? Do you trust yourself as a dog trainer enough to stop this dog? Probably not. So, yeah. Don't get a big-ass dog if you can't handle it. We're on page 7 of 28, baby. We have got a ways to go.
When someone drops a bomb in the thread, this poster yoga shows up, and if you want to read what they say.
Fishy, I'm not trying to be a bitch, but I know you mentioned in the pregnancy thread that your son is possibly autistic and has very dangerous allergies. Along with an 8-week-old preemie, it seems like your plate would be too full for any puppy, let alone one as difficult as this.
Oh boy, that is a whole thing that I am...
So yeah, it turns out both the kids are special needs. The older one is possibly autistic, and the younger one is a preemie, premature birth.
Dogs aren't therapy. Like,
so yeah,
pets are not fucking therapy, man. Like, oh my god, my ex had a betta fish that she kept in like a fishbowl that would be, I wouldn't even keep pens in. It was so small. It was like less than half a gallon, right? This tiny little thing. No aerator, just a little bit of stones at the bottom, and like nothing in it. And the water would get darker and darker and darker, and then she would clean it and then just put tap water in and a little drop of the whatever, like the purifying stuff. And then I was just like, honey, you're going to kill it. And she's like, no. It's fine. And I was like, honey, no, really, like you can't keep a betta fish in something this small. And she's like, I've done it this whole time. It's fine. And then the fish died because of fucking course it did. And I would, and she just looked at me and was just like, don't say it. I'm like, but why? Your foot was on the gas and the brick wall was right in front of us. And you killed a living thing because you could not handle the idea that you weren't ready for it. And so, like, this is just dogs. We're also talking about, like, kids, you know? And so that's when, like, the camera pulls back, right? First the camera pulls back and you see that there's kids in the picture. Then the camera pulls back again, and it's not about the kids. It's about this person with their bizarre fucking disposition to just add more stupid shit to their plate that they don't need.
Yeah,
and it just makes, I hope that we don't like find out that Fishy Fishy is also like a totally sweetheart person at the end of this. And I hope that they don't listen to this because like, Jesus Christ, girl, get your shit together. This is, when this goes wrong, it's not just going to hurt you.
Yeah. Someone does bring up that despite the fact they have sheepdog in the name, they are livestock guardian dogs. That's what the LGD abbreviation was earlier, which is a different breed. So just again, showing that they aren't really doing that much research on this. And so further on, this is when Fishy Fishy is really starting to lose any sympathy they might have had. So if you could read this post by Masso here, they're kind of like the star of this thread. They really, really start taking over from here.
And to be clear, Masso's avatar here is, I'm going to just throw a wild breed out here. I'm going to say that's a Weimaraner. I have no idea. But it's a Weimaraner wearing aviators, and it's got some like little stars next to it. And at the underneath it, it says "fuck bitches, get stud fees." So we know that this person is plugged in.
Yeah, no, that is another very fun thing about this. Pet Island is still something awful. So it's like you get to see like what pet ownership is like filtered through the lens of something awful posters. So yeah, this dog breeder person, I guess, with the "fuck bitches, get stud fees" is very good. Or like, on something awful, one of the best emoticons on the site is cat drugs, where it's like a cat with its mouth open and the word cat drugs next to it, and it's flashing rainbow colors. And it was created because someone on the forums actually grows and sells catnip on some SMR, organic homegrown catnip, and it's called cat drugs, and that was what it's from. And that, everyone liked it so much they made an emote out of it. So like, yeah, something awful has a lot of very fun pet ownership stuff.
I'm here for it.
Also, I will say the rat thread is fantastic. If you're ever thinking about getting a rat, the something awful rat thread is great. I used to post in it a little bit, even during my trolling days. I would just post rat pictures in there because that was the one place I would post like a sane person. That and the Deus Ex thread, and it was very funny seeing people be like, "I don't get it." And Deus Ex thread and the rat thread, he's like a completely normal person, and no one put two and two together. But at least, you know, anyways. I'm sorry, guys.
Do you post anywhere on something awful anymore?
Oh no! I stopped posting years ago, long before. They permabanned me and everything. But like I haven't posted on it since gosh, like 2021, I think.
Anyways, Masso,
Fishy Fishy, I'm not trying to insult you. People are repeating themselves because you are putting your kids and possible dog in a very, very bad situation. Someone in IRC has friended you on Facebook and sees you saying this, "Fishy Fishy, we might be getting a puppy." And then less than 8 hours later, "We are getting a Marimba puppy. Yay, I love rare dogs."
Rare? I love, like a Pokemon, just a rare dog. I caught
a fucking shiny dog. Yeah, God.
Everything you need to know about this person in those two words, rare dog.
Yeah, dude, I just like, I have a very intensely different relationship with animals than most people, I think.
There's something I do want to bring up at some point, is that like one of the things that's tough about talking about pet stuff on the internet is there's also kind of the opposite, where people on the internet are very precious about pets in a way that can be very, very difficult to like to the point where some people can be very unrealistic in their standards for pet ownership, especially considering like the realities of like everyday life that some people have to live in. Like, yeah, like as a poor person, I wouldn't have money to, like, you know, for vet bills like that. Or like, you know, but people would be like, oh, if you can't afford to do this, then you shouldn't, you know. Living in capitalism is all about making compromises, and that's why I have rats again, because, like, you know, bless the rat owners out there that can afford to spend like $1,000 to take their rats to a vet to get them like surgeried on. Though I will say it is very cute to see pictures of rats with those like oxygen masks on, like knocked out. It's
oh yeah, great Google. No, any circuit, like all the different ways that they take MRIs or like apply, like give oxygen to pets, like how they do it with hedgehogs or something, like they just put them in like a cone. You know, like I just think that's fucking fun. Yes, and now this. Okay, yeah. All right, so this is a continuation of what she was posting on Facebook.
And now this. Marimas grow to be about 40 to 45 kilograms. They don't jump or bark and are known for protecting their owners fiercely. If the name doesn't ring a bell, these are the dogs that guard the penguins on Phillip Island.
And then the response to that is outside of the quote here.
They don't jump or bark? I only bring this into the thread because I truly do hope you decide to not get this dog, and you need as many people telling you this in as many ways as possible. You are in way over your head. Way over. Not only that, but what's with the rare dogs bullcrap? Seriously, like, getting a dog because no one else will have one? Ask yourself honestly. This is a terrible, terrible reason to get a dog.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's nothing... No lies in this.
Yeah, so just about the quality, they didn't do any basic research. Just being like, oh yeah, this dog that everything about it says that they do this thing. Actually, they don't do that thing. I'm sure they're fine. And yeah, and also I put a note here because one of the interesting dynamics about Pet Island on Something Awful is that for some reason it had a really active Facebook group. So a lot of posters on Pet Island knew more personal information about each other. It's also why Pet Island is largely dead now, because a lot of posters over time just migrated to Facebook over the years. And apparently now, like, the Pet Island Facebook group is still active, alive, and well, but the Pet Island forum is kind of dead. So just another interesting dynamic about that. And also it makes sense that the people that are really into pets would be more into social media, because that's a place where you share pet pictures with people. Like, the people that I know that still use Facebook, a lot of them say, like, I only use it for family and cute pet pictures, and that's it. Like, the people that still use it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a dying medium, so.
Yeah. So someone in the thread, they point out, they say, Christ, you also have two cats, and link to a thread Fishy Fishy made 3 weeks previously in the thread for cat owners, which I will read. Fishy Fishy, in February 14th of 2009, says,
my two gray and white cats are super smooches. If given the chance, they cuddle under the blankets in bed. The big fat older one loves food and begs for scraps like a dog and follows my 20-month-old son around for food. The two-year-old crazy one jumps on people's shoulders when they come in the front door. My son carries her around all the time. They both have spaz meows. They sound like ow, ow, ow. Right now I have them both fussing on my lap.
So she has two cats, and also from that, you know, the kids play with them. So we know that the kids are going to want to mess with the dogs. Again, just... So she... And also the fact that she didn't mention she had cats anywhere in this, that would also be something that would be relevant in this.
Yeah. I mean, we're painting a very specific picture, because there's a lot of people that I've met in the dog world who, like, dogs are just the only fucking thing that they have. And acquiring projects is kind of like what a lot of other people have. And so, like, you know, like, I've just been over at people's houses that are just like these vile, overwhelmingly busy, cramped, stinky fucking places, and they have like 10 or 12 Russian wolfhounds, and that's all that they do. That's the only thing they talk about, that's the only thing that they're interested in, and it's like, it's impossible to even go like, hey, like you're having a conversation with them, and a dog is pissing on the floor. Hardwood floor. and they don't even move. They don't even say anything. Like a grown dog just lifts its leg and just soaks the floor in piss, and that they don't blink. You know,
yeah.
Like it's just fucking crazy.
Of course, since this is something awful, goons are gonna goon. And I got a couple screenshots of people accusing this of being fake. I highlighted a couple of the highlights there. Just, you know, no way this is real. I don't know. It seems obscure. But there's a post from a poster named Pineapple here. And I just put it there because their ban reason was hilarious and also weirdly relevant to where this thread is going to be going. So the punishment reason for Pineapple, it says, oh, look, Pineapple is trolling the pregnancy thread again. that is such a wonderful picture that sentence paints of like a thread about pregnancy on something awful that is being serially trolled by a person. That's just a very funny mental image.
Yeah, well, the quote from Pineapple is,
buying a Maremma, the passive-aggressive way to tell your significant other that you really don't want kids.
And so Fishy returns to defend themselves. You know, they go,
I don't know why I have to defend myself. I have been on this list for this pup for over 5 years. Both of its parents are domestic Maremmas, and they are kept on the homestead. They usually breed their working Maremmas, so I had to wait a long time for this pup. I have been to the farm a few times and met the pup's parents, and I have also met the other Maremmas that work in the paddocks. Breeders don't just give their dogs to anyone, and I have had to prove quite a few times that I know what I am doing. The parents are constantly around young kids, 2 and 3 now, and the pup has been with the kids too. They never had an incident with the domestic Maremmas. The young Yorkie ones, though, are very rough.
Let's see. Fishy says he might be getting a puppy. Yay! I've had a phone call for the breeder, and I was on the shortlist for the pups. That's why I used the word might, referring to their Facebook quote there. And then, I love rare dogs. And then they're quoting their own post and then replying to each part here. They go,
yay, I am getting a dog that I've been waiting for years. I didn't want to tell people before we knew we'd be defiantly getting it. It is rare to get a purebred Maremma pup from two domesticated parents.
And then the thing about the quoting,
defiantly getting it, yeah, is a little on the nose, right?
Yeah, that's why that's a very,
instead
very
of definitely right,
very Freudian slip there. Yeah,
they go, I was describing the parents of the pup. They are trained not to bark or jump, and the pup has been doing this too. Also, we live in an urban environment, but not in our city. We have a horse farm 2 minutes down the road. We also have a quarter acre block. I am also not a novice when it comes to dogs and training them. My son has his pets, the cats. Also, with his condition, he doesn't like rough play. He will sit there and look but won't touch. This dog is for me and only me.
Jeez, at least she admits it. Oh my God, she admitted it.
One of the reasons the breeder is giving me the pup is because this area really needs some Maremmas to show, and both I and the breeders think that I can do this.
Yeah, look, man, you know, the breeder is also going to make probably north of $1,000 on you. It's you go into a hat store and you try on a hat, and the hat store guy goes, wow, that looks like a great hat on you.
You pull it off.
I don't think anyone else has actually pulled off that hat the way that you're pulling off that hat right now. And then you buy the hat, and now you have $40 less and they have $40 more. And that's how the game has been fucking played.
Yeah, that is the gaping vacuousness at the heart of capitalism. Yes, that is what life is. How are you not aware of this?
How can you have been researching this breed for 5 years and still not know that it's not a fucking herding breed like a Kelpie or Heeler mix?
Yeah, the whole 5 years thing is very funny, and everyone kind of is kind of digging on it. Okay, these quotes here. These two here in particular, I want you to read these. These are very funny. The Mucktron and Cat Pilot ones.
This is payback for all the times Pet Island attacked the pregnancy childbirth mega thread.
And Cat Pilot says,
God damn it. So I guess the pregnancy thread has decided to start counter-trolling Pet Island after our DWN fiasco.
So the God damn it is an edit. So what happens is, this person is so known for trolling the pregnancy and childbirth mega thread that two separate people called it out at the same time. And the second person had to edit their post and be like, God damn it, you made that post while I was making it. This last post here, another fun detail from Facebook comes out. If you could read this one here.
So here's the facts. You've been on this list for 5 years? Oh, awesome. You've been on this list for a dog since you were 17. Then, surprise, you found out that you're going to get him after waiting for 5 years since you were 17 in 2 days.
So this person is 22 on top of all this.
She's 22, has two kids, both with some sort of congenital issues.
It also definitely lied about the 5-year thing, because if they didn't, yeah, like the idea of like, I'm in high school, I'm gonna buy this dog now so I can like get it when I'm an adult. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's not true. That's definitely not true.
Also, that thing where she quoted about them being guards for penguins, someone dug up some fun information for that. If you could read Sachi D. Vangel's post there.
Yeah, unless they kill 10 penguins or 6% of the population of their atypical charge and then have to have their guarding duties revoked, good luck to your cats and children.
Yeah, so in Fishy Fishy's Facebook post, they're like, oh, these dogs are known for guarding penguins. And then it turns out there's this article from The Age in Australia published 15 years ago. Penguin deaths put guard dog trials at risk. 2008. So it turns out that basically using Barema dogs to protect the penguins on Middle Island had to be canceled because the dogs kept killing the penguins because they were being too rough with them and not being aware that they were killing them. So literally, they're like, we brought these things on there to keep these animals from killing the penguins, and they're killing the penguins. This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Very darkly funny on its own, but especially in this context, just her bringing up that is like a fun factoid. Like, the fun fact you brought up about these dogs is ended with death.
Right, yeah, God.
And so Fishy Fishy, this is when Fishy Fishy tries to close the thread to stop people from dunking on her, but Ahmad intervenes and reopens it. So when they reopen it, Fishy Fishy shows up and they give this sort of parting shot. They go,
we don't know if my son is autistic yet. We have been told possible autism. My cats have an area of the house that is fenced off from the rest so they can escape my son if they want, and so he won't play sand pits with the kitty litter tray. As with all my dogs in the past, they have their own area of the yard fenced separate, so they don't bang on the door or pull clothes off the line, etc. My dog would only be coming inside in the evenings to sleep and wouldn't be going into my kids' rooms anyway, so I don't see how they can get hurt. My son and daughter take their midday nap at the same time every day, 11 to 3, and then go down to 8 p.m. At this time, I usually go for a jog. I also go for a jog in the morning before my kids wake up at 7 a.m. In the afternoon, we go to the park, which is a fenced-off area at the dog park. Looks like this dog can get 5 hours a day of one-on-one time, plus more time with the family. I stay at home 7 days a week, and this is our routine nearly every day. But what do I know about children's safety? I am getting a highly dangerous dog as a pet. And even though I have shown dogs in the past, I have no idea on how to train them. I just want an excuse to kill my kids and my cats.
Okay, there's. I know we've been recording for a while, but there's so fucking much to unpack.
Isn't there?
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know if my son is autistic yet. You just said that he was. And also, the cats have an area outside of area of the house that's fenced off for them so that they can escape my son if they need to, which already, oh boy. This takes me back to when I was telling my mom that I was, like, kind of worried that Republicans were going to do some wild shit and, like, try to take people's 401ks. And she said to me, oh, no, honey, don't worry. That can't happen. It would be illegal. that can't happen. I put a single strand of hair in front of this moving freight train, and the hair would be in the way of the train. All things being equal in this lovely world of mine. I also like that they suddenly have a large enough yard that they can fence off entire, like, quadrants of it as, like, the dog's own duchy out there. And that they hang their clothes on a line like they're in a fucking Norman Rockwell painting. I mean, yeah, and also that, like, my kids have a midday nap at the same time every day, 11 to 3? Your kids are taking a 4-hour nap in the middle of the day, and that you intend that this is going to be the routine that's going to happen for the next 16 to 18 years.
Yeah. Also, like, how is your morning and afternoon jog going to work out when your kids are in school? Like, you know,
right.
Like this is like, all this is based on you having children that sleep a lot. Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. If you can get your kids mono, then we'll be fine.
Just everyone is just kind of really driving home that these dogs are very dangerous. Like,
what's Maso got to say? Let's see.
Yeah.
If nothing else, can you genuinely explain to us how you read all of the advice and anecdotes in this thread and still think it's okay to ignore? Do you think people are making it up? Do you think no one knows what they're talking about? do you think people are just trying to piss you off? I'm not joking, I'm serious. I see people go ahead with bad plans about animals all the time, even when I advise them not to. But how can you still be doubtless about your plan when you have this many people screaming that it's a horrible idea? Please explain, I really want to know.
Yeah, and also since it's 2009, we do get some of that casual sexism and ableism. So I should mention that at least. Anyways, that same poster that was being sexist and ableist, they were so mad at them that they come back a few minutes later and they have a post here. If you just want to read the highlighted bit there.
Between taking pictures of newborns with beer bottles shoved up in their faces and flippantly mentioning that she pooped out another one, she's not at all busy with her kids as it is.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, they went on their Facebook and they dug up a picture of and they posted it in the thread, which I said I've censored the face myself, but in it they put like blingy stuff over it. But it's like a baby with a beer bottle up to it. And
right.
Yeah, and at first I was hesitant to include that because I thought it might be like the result of Facebook creeping. But then that poster elaborates and says that it was all from her own Something Awful post history. So if you could read Shebrew's post there.
Haha, you mean she posted that picture of the newborn with the beer bottle on the forums? Why, yes, she sounds like a prime candidate to have an LGD.
A large guard dog, I imagine?
Along with two young kids. Yes, in the pregnancy mega thread, is somebody else, Tristesse, is responding. I'm very surprised that they didn't call that out already.
So yeah, what was going on in that pregnancy mega thread? We have, like, trolling bears, babies, like, with alcohol, like... I just love that this thread is kind of like the secret star of this episode. And this is when everyone really starts to turn on her. Someone dug up a post of hers from the fitness subforum that really paints a picture of the life she's lived here. I'm going to read it here. So this is her talking in the workout, in an unrelated thing in the workout thread.
I was inspired to go on a diet too because of this thread. I am a 6'3" female. I am 20 years old.
This post was 2 years prior.
I have been on my diet for a few weeks and I feel great and I have gone from overweight to healthy weight but still hoping to lose my gut. My diet is quite limited because I am lactose intolerant. All my life I have been very skinny, max weight 70 kilograms, 154 pounds. When I moved in with my boyfriend, that changed. I went from my organic vegetarian style, my mom and sister are vegan, to eating meat. I started to get a bit stockier. Then I got glandular fever and became a huge 104 kilograms, 229 pounds at my heaviest. I have always enjoyed drinking to excess and usually drown 8 beers a night. I have now cut back.
My God. Dogs are not therapy. Dogs are not Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. But then next one.
I have now cut meat except some fish every few days. I'm living on veggies and fruit again. I have also cut out drinking beer for the first time in my life since I was 13 years old.
Okay. Look, none of this is a judgment against people who have had like incredibly difficult lives or who have, you know, dealing with the disease of alcoholism. Obviously, I'm extremely sympathetic to that. But, like, you have to know that you are, if you're cutting out drinking, that means that you recognize that you shouldn't be around alcohol because of the problems that it's caused for you. Expand your horizons to other things that are going to cause you problems. Because I know a lot of people who are addicted to chaos. Like, one of my closest relationships ended because one of my friends at the time just like started telling people that we were hooking up for like no reason.
Wow.
And it went on and on and on. And I was eventually like, when it finally came to a head, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And this was just like a lot of like mush mouth, because the reality is that every single moment in their life, there's some crazy drama happening where there's just people are they're in love with me or they hate me or something, like there's some crazy fucking thing, you know? And so like when you have people who are like so, they already have so many very serious things going on. They're jogging for 2 hours a day. And it says here that they are, you know, they're doing the elliptical for 45 minutes. And I don't do weights because I have huge muscles already. I play the trombone and or euphonium slash tuba for 1 to 2 hours a day.
Yeah, I was going to bring up that detail before we moved on. Just this tuba playing giantess with very bad dog ownership choices. Just like, what a picture.
I mean, that was better than I thought it would be, and also dramatically worse, because I didn't want to, like, I was hoping that it wouldn't be like, this person is big and fat, that's why they shouldn't take care of their kids, and, like, thankfully it's just, thankfully they're that's not the focus of that post. The focus of the post is that this person is the most insane thing you've ever met.
Yeah. And also, they made that post when they were 20 saying that they had stopped drinking. Then they're 22 and they have that kid and they're posting pictures of them with the alcohol. So I'm thinking that they turned 21 and could buy alcohol and probably just like, I'm cool now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Fishy Fishy's last post. And this is kind of like her parting shot with everyone.
Oh my god, a uni student who drinks. That is rare. Also, a person who admits that they started drinking when they were 13. I didn't drink heaps when I was 13. I drank at parties like most teens do. Oh my god, bad dog owner, bad mother. Also, I applied with a breeder on my 18th birthday. So, oh my god, an adult who is legal applies to get a dog when they have lots of dog experience. Oh my god, bad person. Also, bad person, because a person doesn't put all their life on hold because of children. Bad parent. Lots of parents go back to work when their kids are 5 weeks old, but someone stays at home with their kids and wants to get the type of dog they have wanted since they were 10. Bad parent. Also, a granddad posting for a photo with his grandson. Very, very bad. The worst thing in the world. This makes the parent stupid and a bad parent. Also, a person who sometimes rounds up or down their height because it is easier. It is also a bad parent and a bad dog owner. For the records, I stand 6'2½". Oh, no. Also, a person who has kept in contact with a breeder, but truthful to the breeder about the circumstances that they live in, is also a bad person. I am also a bad person for wanting a pup breed from two specific animals, so it would just suit my life circumstances better. Bad person, irresponsible person, because I am just like all the backyard breeders who have breed Baremas with golden retrievers and sell them in pet shops.
Boo.
There's more.
Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo.
I am also a very bad person for wanting as much information about my pup from people in a similar circumstance. So irresponsible. Yes, go back through all my past posts because it is fun to try to bring someone down who you don't know. It makes you so very smart. Let's just look at her Facebook. Wait a minute. She is who she says she is. Let's just make fun of her anyway. Also, for the records, I enjoy an odd drink every now and then. Usually a nice drop of red with my dinner or a stubby of stout at the end of a 45-degree day. I know that this makes me a bad person. Whatever. And no, I did not drink when I was pregnant or try to get pregnant. User was put on probation for this post.
Also, like, you've said multiple times that alcohol has been a consistent problem for you, that you are, like, cutting it out. So, like, you can't have it both ways, you know? You can't say that it's, like, not a thing when you've, like, already gone well out of your way to tell us that it's been, like, this very present problem in your life that started when you were 13.
Yeah.
And also just, like, this overwhelming victim fucking, like, I hate to use, like, I know victim mentality is a whole thing, but, like, the minute that somebody, you push back on someone and, like, their gut first response, I mean, granted, this isn't her very first response, but, like, is just to go, like, oh, well, I guess I'm the Antichrist and I hate cookies and I'm bad at everything. It's like, no, we just told you that you're very bad at, this is a bad decision. Don't do this.
Yeah, just the fragility where, like, anything, yeah, like, just makes it collapse like that. Like, just,
yeah, God.
Yeah, and just this post here, I think, is a very just kind of nice, like, condemnation of her there.
I don't think you're a bad person, just a stupid person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, were you drunk when you posted this, is another one, which I didn't think.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so and also, at this point, we are 3 pages into a 6-page thread. The back half is way less funny because that's when the more stereotypical goons from outside Pet Island get wind of the thread and roll up and, you know, just start like having very strong opinions about whether or not 22-year-old women should be having children at all. The Darwin Awards get evoked at some point. There is one very salient point, last salient point that is raised here, if you could read Sekhmet's point there.
Oh God, I just thought of something else. She says she's going to show the dog. That means it will need to be intact as well.
Oh wait, we already talked about that earlier. Oh crap, I can just edit that out then. But,
right.
Cool. All
right.
So yeah, so that thread was goldmined on March.
Well, we should explain that, like, if you don't know, that, like, having an intact dog, i.e. not neutered or spayed, they're going to have a lot more hormones and they're going to be a lot more ornery. And not only that, but they are going to, if it's a female dog, it's going to go in and out of its hormonal cycle, and it will have, like, it will not be a consistent cognitive or, like, emotional dog all the way through. Like, your dog's going to be different depending on where they are at in their cycle. And that's just, like, my mom can handle that great because my mom, like, pays, my mom's one of those people who, like, dogs are her whole life. And so she pays very keen attention to who's coming into heat and, like, when do you breed and da-da-da-da. And so, like, it's just, like, it's going to be a little different. Like, it's such a bigger complication, you know?
Yeah, it really is just, like, challenge. And also just, like me personally, it's kind of, like, the fact that, like, this person, like, buying, like, this person who isn't a dog breeder buying a dog to show it, like, I just, because I feel like this is a thing I've seen, like, I've experienced this in real life, where people are like, I want to get this fancy designer dog breed, but they're very expensive. I know, I'll buy it, but I'll keep it intact and have puppies and sell the puppies, and then I get to have the dog I want, and then I can make money on the side and make up for it. And then it turns out that, no, they can't because they're not registered, and then they just have a bunch of unwanted dogs, and, like, that's one of the reasons why we have so many dogs that are unwanted. So just, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh man, getting into dog showing to breed, like, you can, like, puppy mills are a thing. Like, you can do a puppy mill where you just, like, churn out dog shit quality dogs, for lack of a better phrase, and just, like, send them out into the world. Like, that's already a thing. I'm not saying you should. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it. But, like, the idea of getting a very rare dog breed that's a very difficult dog breed, and then, like, expecting that you're going to just, like, oh yeah, well, once this is breedable age, I'm going to start breeding them out, and I'm going to get a shitload of puppies, I'm going to sell the puppies for money, I'm just going to live off of dog money, is, like, that's like Bitcoin. The amount of money that you spend to breed dogs, to raise dogs up to that point, is insane. It's staggering. And yeah, you're just, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to lose money. I mean, I guess we didn't really see that that's what she was saying that she had intended to do. I don't think that that's what she intended. But, you know, it's that is a thing that people have attempted to do for sure.
So that thread gets gold mined on March 8th of 2009. So it gets closed. And then, so on April 24th of 2009, on a completely different forum for dog owners, a poster named Fishy Fishy made the following post. So
this is shortly after?
So yeah, so a little over a month later, April 24th. So March 8th is when the thread was gold mined. April 24th almost 2 months later. A Fishy Fishy on a different forum posts my Maremma puppy, and then their post here says,
I have a 17-week-old male Maremma. He is the most well-trained and beautiful pup. There is nothing wrong with him when he is around us inside or out walking, but he has a thing. He is a LGD, and as such, it's funny in our yard when either myself or my son is not at home. He has started to guard a tree. He races and barks at birds that go near it and has ripped off all the shrubs around it. I was thinking of getting him a rabbit friend for our yard so he can guard something that is alive when it is alone. I was actually thinking of two Flemish giants. Would this fix the problem? Thinking emoji. I have searched for the internet and could find nothing on this.
So apparently, I will say up front, I don't know if this is real or not. Like, this could be another person registering the name. But, like, I choose to believe it because it's so funny, the idea. She got the dog, things went bad, and then she's like, I can't go back to something awful and admit that I fucked up. So they go to a different dog forum asking for help, but then use the same name. This is very funny.
Yeah, if that's real, that would be funny. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I do think that the idea of getting a pet rabbit is...
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, my snake is lonely. I'm going to get it a pet mouse.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Good luck. Actually, I don't know. There's some people who fuck up so badly that I'm like, I don't want you to have good luck. I want this to explode in your face so that I can be right and that you can be wrong the way that things ought to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want this to work for you. I want you to suffer.
Yeah, I don't want your bad choices to be validated.
Right.
Yeah. And it was because Fishy Fishy and her Maremma sheepdog that had become so legendary on Something Awful, this post eventually made its way back there. And so half a year later, in October of that year, so 6 months after that post, it makes its way back to Something Awful. And we see here Fishy Fishy was banned with the punishment reason, how's that Maremma working out? Please don't ever come back. So... Fishy Fishy, and that's why Fishy Fishy, this whole time we were reading these threads, their avatar was the banned thing, because, yeah, they were eventually banned because of this, and they were run off the forums for it. So this actually has, because of that off-site thing, we actually do have some closure in this one for once. Yeah, it looks like they didn't follow the advice, they did get the dog, and everything they said was right, and it didn't work out. So, you know, just, damn, just, sorry. Like,
oof. God. I just,
you know, just like you said, like in our first episode, you talked about like the metaphor of like watching a cat walking around a bunch of vases. And this was like watching a Maremma sheepdog in a room with a baby being like, no, no, no.
Yeah. You know, I do want to know what happened.
Yeah.
But,
maybe we don't.
Not. Yeah. This is rough.
Yeah.
This is rough. I want closure on this one. I want closure on all these because I want it all, you know.
Well, the other 2009, that was 14 years ago. Like if you're like a high school if you're a high schooler and you had like a Maremma sheepdog growing up, maybe you know, if you're the autistic toddler, come on the pod.
Yeah, if you're the autistic toddler and you're still a toddler, come on the pod, because I want to know what happened to your body. Why are you still are you still a toddler?
Friend of the pod, time baby.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, I think that does it for us. We have a Patreon as well, if you want any more of us. It's just like $5, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I just had a stuff. Discord pop up for one of my furry friends saying, I'm at the clown rave. So yeah, I definitely want to wrap this up. I want to learn where the clown rave is.
Yeah, I'm gonna make something to eat and I'm get back to my fucking drawing. But, yeah, say hi in the Patreon. That would be very cool. All of that money goes to Steve and Jay, so that, because Jay, you know, writes everything and Steve, generally edits a lot of it. If you want to support me, obviously, you can, find me on, Instagram at Calculations and on Twitter at Winslow Dumain. I also have everything that I'm making on my website, which is winslowdumain.com. I am making a card game. I am doing so goddamn much for it right now. Please come by, say hi. I have the whole thing is available to play on, Tabletop Simulator. You can also print and play if you want to do that too. Yeah, just like let me know, and I can work out like a DM session for you. I'm drawing it all by hand, and you can see the videos of me drawing. There's all sorts of shit. Just go follow me on whatever and go say hi. I'd love to say hi back to you. And if you want one last thing, if you DM me, on, I think, Instagram is probably best, or Twitter. Twitter is probably best. Whichever, who cares? I will show you one random object from my apartment, because that's just an ongoing offer that I have, because I have such a weird, crazy apartment.
All right, cool. And also, I want to, I'll do a counter offer. If anyone listening sends me a DM, I'll send you a picture of one of my rats. So, if you want rat pics on demand.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm Jay Brandstetter everywhere. I'm Panda Brandstetter on Instagram. You know, you can find me on, I've got some, I'm looking forward to doing that thing with Fred's mom. You know, find me around. Things are doing good.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
I'm From the Internet is created by Jay Brandstetter and Winslow Domain. Edited by Steve Brown. Music by Steve Isbrook.
Bill Maher fan thinks about me. They're all just pedophiles. I don't give a shit.